BBNO dollar sign. That's me. Hey, welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda. And we have a very, very special guest with us today. Baby No Money.
That is it. That is me. And this week, a week later, because now I don't have COVID.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah, thank you.
I was so sad. You showed up and you were just like, you got tested and it was just like,
yeah, it's not looking
good. Sitting there in your mask like 20 feet away from everyone. Yeah. Just like, I'm sorry, guys.
I hadn't had coffee and I was just like, my head was thumping and I was like,
oh,
man.
Oh, no.
But yeah. Hey, you're back.
I'm back.
You're back.
This whenever, man.
Yeah.
We've already been talking a bunch this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were just talking about how Anthony is a beautiful man.
He really is. I remember the first time I met him, we just dove straight into like deep conversation about finding oneself. And I was like, holy shit, this
that
guy's
a
like
sense.
A beautiful man. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's interesting because you never know what a person really is until you meet them and you're like, oh, like, that makes sense.
Because you watch them when you watch them a bunch.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, I mean, like, my brother basically looked like them growing up because it was like, you know, got the pan hair down and the American Apparel sweater kind of vibe. And it was just like, that was like when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah, it was just really, really interesting to meet them and do Submissive and Breedable together. Mm-hmm. And with you guys, too, it was just like fucking...
And
I know.
I think Anthony and Ian told me the story, but they reached out to you, right?
Yes. Yeah, so,
but you kind of mentioned them online first.
I don't really remember where I mentioned them. I think it was just like, I think I was on Hassan's podcast.
I think that's what Ian said, yeah.
I don't really remember, but I must have just been like, yeah, Smosh, goated. Like,
nice.
It's just, you know, it's like one of those things where there was such a pivotal moment in like the shift of internet culture
mm-hmm.
that. How can you forget, right?
Right.
So I think I was just mentioning them, and they saw that clip, and then they reached out to me, and they followed me at the exact same time. I was like, all right, boys.
Whoa.
I was like, what's Kismet. Going on here? And I just remember recording, and I was just like, hey, yo, hold on. They just followed me. Let me message them. And then they replied immediately, and I was like, okay, cool.
That's
and
awesome.
That was it. And now we have the sexiest song alive.
That's true, man.
I remember going on set and just talking to you for a while. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is Baby No Money. I was like, nice to meet you, Baby No Money. They're like, he's on the song, Amanda. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up?
You in your gigantic heels, 8 feet
But
tall.
I was just talking to you. Like, just I was like, hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. But, like, I didn't realize... That you were, I didn't realize anything because I hadn't heard the song at all.
Really? That's hilarious.
I didn't hear it at all. I got on set, ready to go as the Dom, hadn't heard the song. They're like, oh yeah, this is Baby No Money. And I was like, oh my God. And then we started like tying you up on that fucking turning thing. Good to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you guys.
You're such a, you are, I think you're one of the first musicians that I've gotten to meet and talk to. And you're so like, I don't know, you're so chill and normal. I don't know. I would expect like a musician to be like, I don't want to talk to you, man. I don't want to talk to you. And you just walk away.
You probably have those moments.
No, not really. I would say if I'm eating with my family, don't interrupt my dinner time
of
with
course.
My family in public. I would just like, yeah, if you want to come over for a photo, but if you start like striking conversation about like what I do with the EQs on my snares and claps, like, please, bro, anything but that. But I will say it's like, I feel like artistry and musicianship is like progressing into a world where it's like you have to be yourself rather than trying to have this facade because social media, if you want to grow as an artist and if you want to have a larger career and a platform, is like you just can't have a facade anymore. Unless you're like a really good actor, which I'm not. So I just am like, okay, I'd rather just chill and play World of Warcraft and talk about poop.
Poop, yeah.
That was like our first conversation. You were talking about World of Warcraft, and I was like, are you fucking serious? I was like, this like big musicians just playing World of Warcraft all the time? I'm like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, basically my life goal is make enough money, have kids, play WoW.
Like World of
WoW.
Ideally, there's going to be a game that's better than it, but it's just like, I grew up playing it. I was homeschooled, so I didn't really have too many friends. So I just like kind of
interesting.
I met a bunch of people online. And that's kind of like where I devolved into the online understanding.
Dude, that's crazy. I was playing World of Warcraft when I was homeschooled.
Yeah.
And that's...
You were homeschooled too?
Throughout high
school.
Did I know this?
I
was an actor kid, so I was
Oh my God, you both were homeschooled? This is why I say shit and you're like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I was like, public school, I guess?
Well, and then I tell you about anything online, you're like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no...
She's famous. Amanda's famous for not knowing about Harambe.
Yeah. I don't...
At all.
Do you know who Harambe is?
We find out Baby No Money doesn't know about Harambe.
Do you know who Harambe is? And it's okay.
Rest in peace.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, it's just I didn't have any time. Like, my mom put me in everything. Like, I was just...
Oh, yeah.
My online time was very restricted. Like, I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons.
My online time was, like, disconnected by my mom because I was online too long. She would disconnect the internet, and then she would go, like, let's say, go get groceries. And I'd be like... that shit back in.
It was frustrating whenever I had to like go do stuff in real life.
Wow.
No, I played World of Warcraft for about a year because I had wanted to play it for so long. Finally got the computer that I needed for it. And in the span of a year, I put in, I think I checked the time because you can check.
Slash played, yeah.
And it was like months of time in the span of a year. And at 15, I was like, I got to stop.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do this. But to this day, it's one of my favorite games. But I couldn't. But I was a big deal in my server.
Okay.
I was a big deal.
All right.
I was the
now
top.
The fact that you just told me that.
The top warrior in the top guild of my server.
The fact that you said that means you weren't.
I had tier 2 armor when that was the peak. Okay?
Tier 2 armor?
It was a long time ago. Yeah. This was before Burning Crusade.
Man, the thing about WoW is you can actually, like, no joke, hold status if you're really good at the game. Back then, because they're like everyone min-maxes now, which is like basically just it's like elitism.
Yeah, totally.
And it's so annoying. But I feel all right. Well,
no, please. I'm loving this.
This is the thing that Shane and I do, okay? Every time someone talks about a video game, my eyes go to the back of my head and I look at like the stars or whatever the fuck is back there. That's fun.
But I haven't played it in a long time, so you're saying nowadays it's not the same.
Well, so no one knew what to do back then.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So like people now might wear green armor if it has like a stat that just like increases their damage, basically. Off like the sole basis of like a chance on hit kind of thing. So now everyone's like, oh my God, like how fast and like how pumper can we get? Mm-hmm. You know? Rather than back then, it was just like when I was playing, I just remember like being so confused what to do.
Totally.
And having to look up guides, and it was like such an entry point to learn how to play the game, and it was so unbelievably like enveloping. Like I would just sit there and just fall in love with the world and like go kill a boar and be like, oh, I killed the boar.
It took so much time to do anything. Like when I played this game, like you start at level 1, the maximum level you can get to is level 60, and it takes months to get there.
So I can imagine why this becomes like a thing that you guys want to do, because they give you an end goal and you're like, well, I want to finish. I want to get to that place.
And you know me, I love working and accomplishing things.
Yep.
Right. And when you play a game like World of Warcraft, you put in time and you're going to see something back from it.
Yeah.
And it felt so satisfying when like I eventually like earned enough gold to get like a thing that I could ride around, you know, like I got this big weird dinosaur that I could ride around on. And I was like, hell yeah. And it meant so much to me. But then you just get so addicted and you get hooked on that cycle.
I missed out on like a whole.
It's okay.
A whole world.
Well, it's interesting because like I feel like a lot of video games are unable to create a leveling route where it's like, oh, here's the story. And then once you get to the end, the story continues.
Mm-hmm.
And World of Warcraft just did it better than any other game ever. Is like the end game was almost better than leveling up, and then leveling up it put you in such a world and like such a like a setting that you could actually learn so much about the game. I don't know,
it rocked.
I can appreciate a story to a game. Like
it's got a cool
I remember
story
my friend she was watching The Last of Us gameplay,
yeah,
and I started watching it with her and it was absolutely stunning. And I was like, oh, if I were a gamer, I would want like this long, drawn out gameplay that has story and lore and beautiful, magnificent things happening. Like, I know that I would be into it.
Oh, totally.
I was so not allowed to watch so much stuff. I don't know if it's like Portuguese Catholic in me, but like my grandmother would watch us a lot and she was just like, that's lazy. lazy. Mm. So I was like, I felt bad watching stuff. So I would watch old movies that were on reruns, but my sister was obsessed with gaming. Like, she was obsessed with The Sims. I thought she lived in The Sims.
I never played that game.
She was obsessed. I think that she's kind of fucked up in a way where she's like,
damn,
loves to watch.
I
love my little sister. We're best friends. But like, she loves to watch people get in weird situations. Like when I played Age of Empires with her, she's like, all my soldiers are going to die. And I'm like, what's this about? It's like her control. She's like, I can control these people. Mm-hmm. And she was obsessed with that. And she was always getting in trouble for being online so much.
Mm.
So I like related being online to like getting in trouble.
Yeah.
So I just never fucking.
I get that. I feel that too. I still feel guilt about video games.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Totally. I mean, if I play video games, it's interesting because I can't play video games when I'm trying to make music because the constant dopamine hit when you're playing games, you're like, oh yeah. And you just like, can't fall asleep. It just clears my creativity. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I've met people that can like play Fortnite and shit and still make music. And I'm like, how do you guys do that? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
So when you're making music, how do you, are you just like, I cannot play video games when I'm making music? Like, do you set up?
Is it like weeks at a time? Yeah. Or is it like,
so I usually, like, yeah, I would say like, so in, for instance, 2022, I did like 136 shows. And then at the last show on December 17th, I also was, like, completely sober that year, and then I just, like, got super messed up on the 17th. And then the 18th, I remember waking up and be like, took a bunch of Tylenol because I was hungover, and then I just played WoW for, like, 18 hours straight. And I just played WoW for the next 3 weeks straight.
And you hadn't played WoW that whole year, basically.
That whole year, and I was just, like, banking that time to play it, basically. Wow. So I just, like, kind of give myself, like, a relaxation period. It's kind of like a
better
vacation.
Is it better to like not go for a while and then bank it at the end, or is it better to just like slowly have it in your life weekly?
I just will definitely I'll find myself just being unable to be creative, and it's like I'll feel guilty, not guilty, but I'll just be like, oh, I should probably be working on my career rather than wasting time playing video games. But even if wasting time playing video games is like a healthy thing for me, it's like an escape. I just, like, I don't know. I'm so caught up in my own work shit. You know, I'm a workaholic for sure.
No, I have to, like, the way you feel about video games, sometimes I am such a workaholic sometimes that my body is, like, I've lost my voice. My body's, like, done.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually at a place where I'm, like, I need to stop doing certain things that are a part of my career that are just, like, killing me right now,
yeah.
Or like might not be serving me right now,
yeah,
which I find to be really, really hard. And I don't know what I would be like if I got into video games. Like, I don't.
You should
I mean, we played all of the Five Nights at Freddy's and she was actually really good at it.
Yeah, we played all of the FNAF,
she, yeah,
and
you
I
started to lock in
it.
To it, so I think you would be really good.
I love horror so much.
Yeah.
So the horror video games were so fun, and I was getting so into it. It's just like I maybe used the fucking controller.
Well,
maybe
the joystick,
like 10 times in my life.
The joystick thing is really interesting to watch, and it's not something I thought about, of like how much of a almost like a language or like a reflex it is to use both the joysticks at the same time and be looking and moving at the same time.
Yeah.
Because when you and Angela are trying to play a game like Fortnite or something, you just don't use your right thumb. Like, or Angela just could not use her right thumb.
Was,
and I was just like, oh, I didn't think about how much of that's something that I learned throughout my whole life. And it's such a, like...
It's very interesting because nowadays, like, if you don't know it as a kid, like,
it's hard.
You're whack.
Oh.
Kind of the same as if you don't learn Spanish by the time you're, what, 12, you're screwed or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
I guess that's interesting. In the Canadian education system, it's all, like, French, basically.
Right.
So I remember being like, oh, why'd you learn Spanish? Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
We learned
French. Ours was all Spanish.
Interesting.
Yeah. We didn't even have Portuguese. Like, we had so many Portuguese people who went to my school, and that wasn't even an option.
Mm.
It was like Spanish or French, but like everyone had years and years and years of Spanish.
Cool.
But if I'm not practicing it all the time,
you're just going to lose it.
It's like if I had the fucking joystick and I was able to practice it all the time, great. But like, my mind could not connect. It's like fucking tapping your head and rubbing your
back. It really is.
It's really difficult.
And it gets so fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
no, it's truly like a second nature thing that if you don't have, it's hard. I think you would get it though after a couple months.
I would get it, but I have
it'd be
another,
frustrating.
I have like another addiction. My addiction is like watching
true crime
documentaries.
That's fine.
And series. I'm obsessed with series that no one has ever seen, like British series or Dutch series or something in another language. I'm obsessed. So I'm like, have you seen this? Everyone's like, never heard of it. Talk about it.
You know the thing though with our job, I feel like it's true for you with any sort of creative job, is like there's really nothing you can do that is technically a waste of time, I feel like, because everything is a resource for inspiration, especially with comedy and especially with what we do, because we do so much at Smosh, where I'm like, there's no video game you can play that's technically a waste of time, because I've used that as some sort of thing that we make a sketch out of, or like we end up playing that game on one of our shows. So like, but I still feel that guilt.
Yeah.
I still am like, I'm wasting time.
Well, it's interesting because I do think a relative amount of my identity online is just like, I am a gamer. So I've used the ability I've used all of my hours that I've put into WoW. I'm just being like, hey, like, you know, I actually do play that game unironically. So when people come up to me like, oh yeah, like what class do you run? Like kind of
funny.
Thing. You know, it's like,
yeah, your audience like, relates to
you. Yeah, relatability. So yeah, I totally hear the sentiment in that. For
it
sure.
adds another level to you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people just focus on one thing, it's not worth it. I think to be creative, you have to do so many different things. But I can understand how the video games kind of takes out all your creativity. I get that. Because I think it turns on a part of your brain that is giving you everything you need. It's almost like you already did all the things you could do creatively, so now you're done.
Yeah.
You know when you're like, oh, I want to write this script, and you think about it so much that your mind and body is like, oh, I wrote it. It's done. And then when you actually have to sit down and write it, you're like, oh, no, I have to retrain my brain. That it's not written yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you experience that, but I do. When I think about a project forever and I'm a little bit nervous about it, and then when I actually have to sit down and do it, I'm like, my body thought I already did it.
Yeah, not totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm like writing an album right now, and it's like every time we get in the room, I'm doing it with Y2K, is the guy who made the submissive readable beat, and like I know it's done. I know kind of where I'm gonna take it creatively, and like I'm gonna try to make like a movie out of all the songs and like put them all like
amazing
like a conjoined music video kind of thing. So I have it like theorized and like contextualized in my brain, but it's not done. So sometimes I can totally understand where you're coming from. It's very interesting because I'm like, I know what I want it to sound like, what I want it to hear or like look like visually, but I'm just, it's not done.
You have to physically.
And you have to do it.
Do you feel like when you're in the middle of writing an album, do you feel like your night's sleep is really dedicated to literally writing the album as you're sleeping? Like, I don't know about you, but I wake up at 3, if I'm in the middle of writing a show or writing something or doing a performance, I'm like waking up in the middle of the night, like having these ideas or thoughts or like, I got to write that down, or it just kind of keeps me up.
No, I have a really weirdly like healthy relationship with making music. Basically, I have to be in a very healthy state to make good music. I don't know why. But if I'm not sleeping enough, I can't make good music. So I'm like focusing on all the other aspects while I'm writing, trying to write the best type of music. I'm like, make sure I'm getting enough like B12, like literally like supplementation. Like I studied Kin in the past, and I like know a lot about my health, and I know when I am really healthy, exercising, organized, having like organized life, like cleaning my room, like being very healthy, I can just make the best art possible. I don't know why. So that's just like how I've figured it out. So like, I guess in a sense it's similar because you're like constantly thinking about it, but I'm constantly thinking about how I can stay as healthy and like stay on top of my sleep schedule and get enough exercise in order to, you know, create the juice in my brain.
See, I want to get to that place because what I'm focusing now, I think a lot of my creativity has come from like sometimes when I'm like running on empty, like so exhausted, like asleep, just like, all right, produce. And it's like now as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, how do I connect this to longevity? How do I make it so I'm healthy and taking care of myself and still allowing the creativity? I think sometimes like the unhealthy, like, I'm not sleeping, I'm just going, is connected to, like, oh, there's the best shit. Like
the fight or flight kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to redo it. Like, this year is, like, a puzzle piece. I'm like, okay, wait, how do I retrain my brain to be, like, no, healthy, you can also be healthy and have a life and be creative.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, you know, some of the songs that I've made that are, like, my biggest or the best. I don't know. You know the feeling when, I mean, you're married, but you know the feeling when you start talking to a girl or you start talking to a guy and it's like that light chase and you're like, you're on the cusp. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, like, I think I might be able to hold her hand. He'll hold his hand. Like, that feeling right in that week is when I write crazy music.
Really?
Ooh. I don't know what it is, but it's like every time it's just like I feel like I'm doing everything right, so I don't second guess myself. And I think that like small amount of like that small pocket of like clear casting in your brain, uh-huh, where you're like, everything I'm doing is clearly right, so it doesn't fucking matter. And then yes, there's no second guessing, and I just like, yeah, I always am making.
Well, it sounds like that gets you into that flow state,
yeah,
where you're just like, you're in it, and there's no thought. It's yeah, just pure like creativity going through you.
And sometimes when I'm sick too, because when I'm sick, I'm not thinking. I'm not really like thinking
your
about.
Guard's down a little bit.
Yeah, my guard's down, and I'm just like, all right, whatever. I'll see if I can make something good.
Yep.
And then it's just like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah.
That's why I connected to the like that unhealthy place. But I'm realizing that feeling that you're talking about, I call it like there's like this magic. I don't know what it is. It's like this present magic where I actually hear what I'm saying and I go, uh-huh, I agree.
Yeah.
And then we say it or we write it and it's like, and that's right.
Yeah.
And that
it's like there's one mind.
It's like a big magic.
Usually there's
moment,
like a bunch of minds going on inside your head.
You're like
that are
trusting,
all fighting.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly. It's a trust.
I get that because for me, I deal with extreme perfectionism, and that's like been my lifelong battle of deconstructing that, where I'm like, when I try to get creative sometimes, I just truly get frozen.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm battling something that's like telling me
right,
that nothing works. So I'm like constantly throwing something and it's not hitting the wall. But then I've had these moments where like suddenly it all just clicks and I'm like, and I can just go.
Yep.
But yeah, it takes those certain moments, takes those certain conditions.
It's so interesting because it's like you're saying, you study psychology, but and I studied kin, so it's like kind of adjacent. And a lot of throughout my education, it's basically just like, hey, so we know absolutely nothing about the brain, and like that is like the basis of what you learn about health sciences and you know psychology and sociology and stuff like that. And it's like, imagine if we knew enough to a point where we could just bottle that feeling up,
I know,
and just like give it to people in vials.
Yeah,
people would be
it's
so
no,
cracked.
I dream
would it
about
be good?
That.
I don't know if it would be good.
I mean,
maybe.
We already have like AI, and it's basically doing that eventually.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, fortunately, it doesn't. I don't like.
It's frustrating. Yeah, in psychology, like one of the main takeaways is like you don't know yourself as well as you think you do,
yeah,
and like a lot of studies actually show it's like actually the people around you know you better than you know yourself. It's like a really weird thing of like people are so sure of themselves in ways where they're off, not in every way, but just in a lot of stuff. But what's also frustrating, more on the personal level of just creativity and as an artist of any kind, is that no two people work the same way, and it's so frustrating because like I will. Like when I was younger, I was constantly researching how other actors or other writers or other comedians did shit, and it was all always different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, God damn. So, like, you do have to learn your own way about it.
You do.
Yeah, I guess I have a lot of people that there's a sentiment there because I have a ton of people always hitting me up. They're like, how did you do this? How did you do this? And I'm like, bro, I just did it. Like,
you did it your way.
Yeah, and it's just like that's kind of something that I was saying in the very beginning. It's just like you have to be yourself because if you're not, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Because it's too difficult to do two things at once.
And I also think when people ask that, like, how did you do this? How did you do this? I think it's more of like, how did you keep going? How did you get inspired? How did you get, like, the motivation. Like, fans will ask me, how do you keep being creative? How do you keep coming up with stuff? Or how do you literally keep going? And it's kind of all part of my work is like, I'm obsessed with this idea of that. How do we as creative people keep going?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we keep being like, I love this. I still love this. When we don't always see results. And I'm kind of obsessed with that because I think that's why acting classes and all these classes where a teacher's like, this is how you do it. And you're like, huh?
There's no way.
And there's no one right way, but there is a way to consistently feed that part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like rituals. It's like morning rituals. It's routines. And they don't have to be the same, but they put me in a place where my body's like, trusting itself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like a sociological case study of like how people interact with what you've made.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is this raisin gonna be good with this craisin? You know what I mean? Let's mix them together. but yeah, I totally agree. I you know, it's interesting making music for so long. I could basically like surgically take moments of every single song that I know is why the song is popular, put them all in one song, it's gonna be a big song.
Interesting.
I just know I do that. I do that. I just do it very like slyfully sometimes because I make music very almost like I would say mathematically. It's like I hear a beat and it's like, all right, where do I need to fill it up?
Interesting.
And that's it. I don't know. Sometimes it's weird because it's like everyone has their own creative flows and their methods and whatnot, but it's like sometimes I'm like, I don't think like artistically about it sometimes. I'm like, is this bad?
Like logically.
It's like logically, it's like algorithmically or like logarithmically, you know, it's like if there's this much of a song and like this much, it's like I'll cut a part out because I just don't think it's making the song better. You know, it's like
you're a scientist.
I get that. I get that. So I mean, we kind of like, we talk about how I'm like trying to learn music. That's the joke. Cause at the beginning of this year, I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to an album a week. Cause I throughout my life, I've just listened to music like here and there. I'm the type that I'm like, oh, there's a song I like. I'm listening to that on repeat. But I rarely listen to like albums or tried to actually understand people's sound. And so I never understood it how a lot of my friends do. But I listened to all of your albums before this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. I listened to all of them. And so I did that. And then you showed up and you were like, oh, I have COVID. And I was like, well, all right. But
you're now like on my playlist.
I listened to all of them.
Yep.
And I've been doing that. I've been listening to a lot of music. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize until I started. I was like, okay, I'll listen. And I was like, you have a lot of albums. I was like blown away. I was oh, damn. This starts.
A ton of music.
And then I was also like, you have a lot of albums. And I'm like, and then you had a million singles before those albums.
Yep.
So I was listening to all of those too. So I listened to all of it. I picked like my five favorite songs.
Really?
But I think I understand a little bit what you're talking about because like I really like your music. It's similar to a lot of the stuff that I listen to a lot because I listen to music when I'm at the gym or when I'm driving. So I kind of like driving to work. So I need to like
it's momentum.
I need energy music and your music has a lot of energy to it. Especially I think you're like the past 4 years. But I definitely noticed the like mathematical thing because I think I don't know anything about music, but I think your stuff just fits really well.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of music I listen to, like it's disjointed in a cool way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like just there's different vibes to it, but yours just like fits.
Yeah.
Like
I've had a lot of people be like, your taste is what is good. I'm not saying anything important because I don't have anything important to say. But it's like most people are just like, yeah, whatever, like your taste, like what you like is really dope.
Your music is such a vibe.
Yeah.
Because I love that Shane is listening to all your albums.
Yeah,
I started listening to a lot of your songs and now they're coming up on my own playlist. You know how Spotify will make all these playlists for you? And then I'm like, oh my God, it's Baby No Money. Oh my God, it's Baby No Money. It's It Boy. Like it just keeps coming up. So you're now, even if I don't go to you, you're on all my playlists.
Yeah.
You just have a cool-ass sound. Like, it makes you want to kind of dance. It makes you want to vibe. It makes you want to hang out. It makes you, for me, it feels nostalgic in a way. Like, it makes me want to call, like, an old friend from high school and be like, what's up?
Interesting.
Want to hang out?
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Also, it makes you want to hang out is really funny.
That's definitely.
Hey, guys, want to hang out? Like, hang out.
Well, it's very positive.
Yeah.
And,
it's very positive.
It's very positive. A lot of music you listen to, and it's like, I don't know, especially I felt like this past few years, like, music felt like, had like, even if the lyrics weren't sad,
heavy.
It just kind of felt like,
heavy.
All right.
Weighted.
But this feels like, oh, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of vibe.
It's lightheartedness, tongue in cheekness, just totally. I like
it's
I
like
just
funny.
Have, the thing is, I just have nothing important to say, so let's just say the dumbest shit possible.
And I would say your music's humble. Your music is humble in a way, like, yeah, in that vibe.
Like I know where I stand in like the spectrum of musicianship. Sure. Like I do think there's a world where I can turn around and like this RE project, this Y2K project I'm making is like way more artistic. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know what? Let's get a Fantana review. Because if I wanted to, I could take a crazy left turn and just make like 7-minute songs. Like I know I could, but I also just like, I don't know if I want to do that. I just
well,
like making.
Yeah, then
I think Fantano reviewed Submissive and Breedable.
Did he?
He gave a rating to it.
Really?
Oh,
I remember that.
I remember that. What was the rating?
He gave it like a C something, which I was like, you know what? For
thanks,
a
Fantano.
For like Ian and Anthony's like comeback music video in a long time. It's like it's such a like, and he like clearly enjoyed it. He was like laughing about it. I was like, because I don't know much about Fantano, but I was like, I think he's a pretty tough critic. So I was like, hey,
he's a funny guy. Every time he reviews my music, it's so funny because usually he says like this, he says that, he says that. It Boy, one of my songs that I put out recently, mm-hmm, he put in like best tracks of the week, and he was like, you know, Baby No Money back with a fucking banger.
Funny.
That's it. Move on.
And we love that. That's what I feel when I'm listening. I don't feel like I owe anybody anything. I'm listening to it, and I'm just like, oh. I can just chill right now. I can just fucking hang out. Like, I don't, like, feel like I need to change the world or be a hero or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's perfect.
I love it.
It's perfect when I'm at the gym. Like, it is perfect gym music.
It's kind of like when I used to play Diablo 2, or I still do, it's, like, one of the games I, like, turn my brain off.
Totally.
It's, like, turn your brain off shit. You know? It's amazing. I'm not trying to provoke anything thoughtful unless you're like, what did he say there? You know, why?
That happens to me. I'm like, the fuck? What did he just say?
And having listened to all of it, I felt like you got that vibe more and more and more. I have a specific song. We'll eventually get to it. There's a specific song where I think was the turning point. Like, maybe it was always there, but I felt like there was one song where I was like, okay, this is like, and I felt like after that, I saw like a different vibe, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm excited to hear this.
I'm an idiot on music. But first, I'm actually curious because Selena did a little bit of research and she found that you originally planned on being a swimmer before you got into music?
So when I was homeschooled, my mom always put me in like extracurriculars just to like have friends. And I was really good at swimming. I don't know where it came from, but I just ended up becoming a competitive swimmer. Basically swam for Canada kind of thing. And then I broke my back and I had to give that shit up. So
how'd you break your back?
I was playing rugby. My dad literally was like, don't play rugby. You're going to hurt yourself. I'm like, no, dad, I'm an adolescent. Like I wanna party. Jesus. I wanna do dope shit with boys. And then
I want to play with the men.
And then it kind of fell out the window. But damn. I mean, I'm still fast in the water.
Like,
still,
yeah, I mean,
I don't swim. Like I don't go out of my way to
not
swim
competitively
because I can't like go to a pool and be like, hey, let's go wade in the pool. You know, I don't do
you
that.
Need to, you need
I
to
just go in the pool. I wanna like I need to be fast.
I wanna do laps.
Yeah.
And shit.
So. I was going to become a swimmer. I mean, like the thing is even if you're like number two ever,
it's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Phelps probably made a couple $1 million, mm-hmm, you know, off of sponsorships.
No, being an Olympian
is not easy. And he's like the greatest Olympian of all time.
Yeah. No, that's a brutal industry. That is
brutal.
That
industry.
Is like,
yeah, no.
Rough. So when did you start like enjoying music and making any sort of music?
I was like 20, so about 9 years ago, or like 21. I don't really remember, but I just remember chilling with my friends, smoking a blunt, and be like, what are we supposed to do? Like doing literally like,
what are we supposed to do?
Like, supposed to chill,
and then
man.
You just started rapping and everyone's like, oh, well, that's what you're going to do.
No, so one of my friends, Seb, he was just like, I made a song last night. You want to listen to it? And I was like, sure. And it was just like garage band, auto-tune, just
yep.
Boy.
Nice. Hell yeah.
And then we just did it. And I remember in that moment in my life, I was very depressed because I was going through a bad breakup. I was going through my like shift in life, trying to find myself. I enrolled myself into a community college because I was like, I'm fucking stupid. What am I supposed to do with my life? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was like, wow, this made me really happy.
Wow.
Like, it was like a beautiful, like, epiphany. Mm-hmm. And I remember I woke up the next morning. I was like, I want to do that way more often. And I just told the guys, I was like, yo, let's just do it. And then one of my friends just bought a mic, and we just ended up doing it often, like very, very often. And we made like 100 songs together, just a group of friends.
Crazy.
And it was there. I think maybe one of them was good.
But I was gonna say, release like, that's kind of.
Oh, they're out. They're out there.
Where? What are they under your name?
No, they're it's under BBG, Broke Boy Gang.
Awesome. So from the start, you knew Done. That your vibe was like no money, like because you went from Broke Boy Gang to
big. Well, so I grew up in a household, and I love my parents dearly, and you know, they just taught me that make your fucking money. Like that's kind of where I grew up. My dad worked like 75, 85 hour weeks kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So my mom was like homeschooling us. So that was my understanding of what money is. And it's like you basically make money to have a family and a life and a roof over your head kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it was like do or die. So that was distilled into me early on as a kid. And then I just kind of use those practices to be cheap and frugal. And I am a cheap and frugal person. Like, when you see me ordering an Uber Black, it's probably because I'm on a date. I would never do that shit. And, like, this girl I'm seeing right now, like, loves Uber Blacking. And I'm just like, yo, I'm ripping that Prius until I die. And she knows it. And it's cool because it's like I'm very open and I understand my boundaries now. And I'm like, don't make me spend money because it actually affects me. It's like I have a trauma with it.
Yeah.
So I just use that as baby no money. And it's like
cool.
Whenever I buy myself like pants or something, all of my friends are like, damn, Alex, you switched up. Like, what's wrong with you? You spent $300 on pants. Like, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, my God.
So it's cool. It's like it's a real part of who I am. It's mm-hmm. like DIY or like being cheap or understanding that I just don't need to spend money. It's like, do I want it? Maybe. Do I need it? Then I'll buy it.
Right, kind of exactly.
So, did the name come up, like, was that just like a spur of the moment thing, or did you work on that?
So my DJ Dan, one of my best buddies, we were in Broke Boy Gang together, and our first show we made like jerseys, basically. We made jerseys with like our faces down our sleeves, and then we had like numbers behind on the back with like our name on the top.
Oh my God.
It was boy time. It was really That's cute. Awesome. It was a really good experience. It really like set the playing field, the foundation for like why I wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think still holds kind of true. It's just like I love the art of it and I love just fucking around with the boys.
Cool.
Kind of thing. So he just my name originally was Baby Freestyle and it was too long.
It's long.
And he just shortened it to BBNO dollar sign.
Some rappers have really long names though.
Yeah.
Cause what's his name? Something the Slump God.
Ski Mask the Slump God.
Yeah. I remember when I heard that, and I was like, that's a hilarious name. But I was like, that's long. Like you gotta say that whole thing.
His name is sick. He's also one of I think in our generation is probably like one of the most talented like internet rappers.
I'm so curious.
His wordplay is insanity. Like you really have to check his music out. Just on like the artistic perspective, I give him all the accolades. Like he's so good at flowing. It's really like coming from a person who understands how to make music in his general lane. It's like you don't find many people that can just like be pitter pattery the whole way, and it sounds so cool.
Wow.
And I think he does a really, really, really good job of it. I'm like a huge fan of his music.
That's really cool. I've come across a lot of his music, just like it's been recommended or whatever, but I'll put his albums on my list. But when I listen to music, especially like rap and stuff, I don't understand what makes something good or not, typically, like when mm-hmm. I'm listening to it. I'm just like, I like it or I don't vibe with it, but I don't understand the study of it. Like when you're saying like, no, this is really, really well done. I don't understand what makes something categorically good or not. But I know that takes like understanding.
So for instance, like look at Drake. Everything he says, he articulates like perfectly,
mm-hmm.
and it comes across with like great delivery. So there's like cadence, delivery, mm-hmm. and just tone.
Sure.
So I remember Rich Brian, 21 Savage. I was like, oh, I love these guys' music because of their tone. And it's like, yeah. I could go listen to Eminem. God bless Eminem, one of the greatest rappers ever to do it. But I just like don't like his like tone.
Tone.
Now. And I think it's also like there's a little bit more to it because it's like the nicer the mic. Sometimes,
sure.
like, you lose a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, there's this guy named Black Bear, and he only sings on a cheap microphone because it makes his voice sound cooler.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of, like, small little techie things.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, the nicer the microphone, for me, too, like, the worse it sounds.
Interesting.
There's some mixing engineers that love keeping more of my, like,
your bassy, raw voice.
I hate it. I love, like... distorting my voice with a bunch of compression so it sounds like
I love a raw voice
and that's where like the like you can like encapsulate more like aggro-ness from my voice
but
I'm not actually saying anything aggro, so it's super interesting because it's like there's a science to it, really.
Interesting.
But I definitely have just kind of gone off on a tangent, but
I feel like though, that is happening a lot more in VO, especially in like commercials, is that they want to hear the raw. They want to hear like the inflections. They want to hear the unique differences in your voice.
Yeah.
So like even like the breaths in or like a word that you're saying that's a little bit more passionate than the other thing, they want to hear it. And yes, they want the mic to sound good, but they don't want that polished sound anymore with your voice specifically.
People want realness, I think
yeah.
people are desperate for realness.
Well, yeah. there was such a long period of music just being basically so cookie cutter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the music's good, but now that there's so much music, you can get whatever you want.
That's true.
I remember someone was talking about like Japanese like cum metal or something like that, and it's
what?
Like if you
adding
want,
that to the list,
if you want Japanese cum metal, like go get Japanese cum metal. You know, it's like whatever that is.
Is that?
And I literally have no idea.
You don't know?
No. I'm looking it up, man.
Like, and it's like if
Shane
you want,
at the gym.
It's like
that guy's lifting 500 pounds.
Japanese cum metal.
Japanese cum metal.
But you can find anything you want, like
that's
anything.
So cool.
So I don't know. Music is beautiful, and I'm glad that you're finally getting into it.
I am.
Also, dude, you listen to all my music?
Yeah. So let's go
that's
through it.
That's fucked.
So, I like, love this reaction so much.
I don't feel like that's that crazy.
Yeah, your music is good. What?
No. Surely, but like I got a lot of music.
You do.
So
have a lot of music.
You do have a lot of music.
A lot. Like,
But so the first song, like you had a bunch of singles like for a long time. When did you start working with Young Gravy? Because I feel like so much of your music is with him.
Yeah, that's a good mix.
So that was in like 2016. I basically like sent him a message and we just became friends kind of thing.
Cool.
It was like we were both really low key at the time. And then started working, we did like a couple songs, and then one song like really hit on SoundCloud, and we were like, oh shit, like maybe we have something here. And we just started doing a lot more songs together because it was just fun. Like when you make a song, it's like an undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if someone else is doing half of it, you're like, fuck, all right, this
like
is
fun.
Easy.
Yeah, you're bouncing off.
Yeah, you're bouncing off each other, and it's like, it just makes the process easier. I don't know how to explain it. It's like easier, and it's also usually just better because you don't have to listen to yourself the whole time.
Yep.
That's fair.
So it's kind of like a just, okay, check on the box. And we just became friends. I remember FaceTiming him on Facebook because I didn't have an iPhone because I had an Android. And he was like, you fucking loser. And I was texting him green. And I just remember like FaceTiming him for the first time, and he never showed his face. So he didn't show his face for 2.5 years because he was working at he was working at a tech startup. So
funny.
He didn't want to like reveal his face.
Imagine
until it
Young
worked.
Gravy with his whole persona just working at a tech support company.
Yeah,
exactly.
So once he did that, or I remember FaceTiming, I was like, either he's like some 45-year-old like father that is just like bored with his kids, or I have no idea. And I remember FaceTiming him. Okay, like, this makes sense.
Just
how tall is he?
He's tall as a motherfucker.
7 foot five.
No. He's
6'7"?
Yeah, he's like 6'7", 6'8".
He's but like, his vibe is so similar to you because I feel like he doesn't take himself seriously at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. It's like kind of a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, it's also been really beautiful to have someone that I can actually communicate with and be like, cool. These are some stressors that I'm having in my life. Like, how did you deal with them?
That's cool.
And it's like, him and I like actually see eye to eye on a lot of things. Some things we definitely don't, but that's just the nature of things.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's like a lot of the times you don't really meet too many people in the music business that like can communicate effectively, I would say. And it's been interesting. My relationship with him is great. It's beautiful. I'm so happy I have him in my life, kind of thing.
Well, because the first song that I listened to that I was like, okay, I think this is one of my favorites. It was from 2017. I don't know if it's the one that you said blew up, but it's Boomin'.
Yeah, Boomin'. Boomin's a good song.
That song was sick because it's got this like it's got this cool like R&B like vibe like beat to it, which I love because I grew up. My parents listened to just like R&B and Motown and stuff. So that stuff's very nostalgic. I just loved it. I loved the way you guys rapped over it. I thought it was sick as hell. I was like, this one rocks.
That song was really funny. I remember him sending it to me, and I'd be like, eh. Because like my normal beat selection is just more like beep, 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 kind of thing. Like,
it's
like,
a little more like.
Yeah, it's a little more slow and whatnot. And I just remember him asking me, no joke, and I was going through finals at the time, like no bullshit, for like 2 months. And I was like, yeah, bro, I'll get to it. I was like kind of pushing to the side. And then he called me. He's like, dude, fucking just do it. And I was at home, and my mom was like, yo, can you go mow the lawn? I was like, fuck. I was like, all right, I got you after I mow the lawn. Came back in, did it in like 15, 20 minutes, sent it back to him. He's like, this is fire. Put it out the next day, and it like exploded.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
That's badass. That's really badass.
So that's more of his, is that more of his vibe always? Is that like smoother?
Yeah,
smoother
he goes
vibe?
More like smoothie vibes. And I go more like beep, boop, beep.
Yeah, you're more like computer. Because
he doesn't do the fast stuff. Like, basically, I feel like you'll occasionally go really fast.
I'm more synthetic than he is. He's more, he's more like acoustic, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
Such a good mix, though.
Yeah.
No,
we blend pretty well together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you dropped like an album a year, pretty much after that, because 2018 was your first album.
Yeah.
Baby Steps. Then you had one in 2019. Was 2019 Recess or
I had Recess and I Don't Care at All.
Yeah.
Because I had La La La, and then I was like, okay, fuck, I got another drop.
That's
song right.
Is
yeah.
Stuck in my head all the time.
What, La La La?
La, la,
that shit blew
la,
up.
La,
unlike
la, 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 yeah. all the
that
time.
Shit went. That shit went.
So you had songs that were big, but then that song was
it's
like
so good.
So I graduated June 7th, 2019. I dropped that song that day. I remember my parents were like, "Okay, let's go for lunch," and I'm like, "Nope, I'm going to go drop the song." And then my sister texted me saying in the car because she came to the graduation. She was like, "What the fuck,
are you mom doing? And dad are mad at you right
like,
now?
Like, what are you doing? Like, this is a moment for you. Like, why aren't we going to be together?" And I was like, "Trust me, this is gonna change my life." And I went, and I remember eating a whole bag of honey Dijon chips, like the big one from the kettle chips. And I remember by the time I released it, I was like, oh. But I just remember lying in bed, be like, I just graduated. Let's go get fucked up. And
honey
the
Dijon
next day,
chips,
like the
dude.
Next day, the song did like five times more than any song I've ever put out.
Yeah,
the first day out, and I was like, oh shit. And then 10 days later, it was doing like a million and a half a day. And
yeah.
It was like the biggest, one of the biggest songs in the world. And I was like, whoa. And
wow.
My life, I was making really good money at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Recess out. I had a little bit of success, like virally and stuff like that. And I was like, I was growing. But that song just went like,
yeah.
And it just took my career off like so fucking fast. But the interesting thing is, I didn't sign it. Ari signed it. And in this moment, I made some massive mistakes. Like, me not signing it, that means I didn't get any of, like, the actual, like, gatekeeper promotion.
Sure.
So everything was gatekept. And also, La 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 was, like, one of the first TikTok songs. So all the people at radio stations were like, nah, man, fuck TikTok.
Damn.
We go payola or hit the road, Jack. You know what I mean? So, but now it's like if it's a TikTok song, it's going on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we were like one of the first. And then also, we didn't have a contract when the song came out. So when I went to China and I did a festival and I came back, it was interesting because when I got back, all the labels were down our throats trying to sign the song. We're like, mm-hmm. what the fuck is going on? Because there's no contract. And I was like, oh.
Because you're just indie.
Yeah, it was just, this. I was like, oh, it's just 50-50 with the producer. Like, what's the big deal? And I just remember it just being like, supposedly in the label system now, there's something called, it's like the La 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 deal. If somebody somebody just drops a song and there's no producer contracted or anything, there's no like contractual data or information for the label to like have clearances to like be like, oh yeah, let's just buy it off this guy. Now people call it like the La La La, like La 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 situation.
That's crazy. So you permanently changed the music industry.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
It's
cool.
Crazy.
It's cool.
Damn.
I did not know that had so much history, that song.
That song is gigantic.
Now that it's like stuck in my head all the time, I'm like, oh wow, now I know the history of that.
That song, that's crazy. Basically, like, I remember my agent calling me and he was like, you're set for life, bro. You know that, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, you're like really set for life with this one. This is a super hit.
Yeah.
Agents don't say that ever.
I'm curious after, because a question I ask with music a lot, a game I like to play is like, what song is going to be still like a big song 10 years from now? Because it's hard to know, because songs can get big and whatever, but like, it's been a long time since that song came out. Like, it's been like 5 years and it's still a big song. Like, it doesn't seem like it's going to go away. But you never know what's like.
Yeah.
You know how like Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, right? Like, it was gigantic at the time, but it's like, that doesn't mean it's going to be around in 10 years, but it's like, it's still gigantic.
Stuber.
But
Stuber.
It's like, you just, I'm always, I love just thinking about that, of like, what's going to still be the song that we're listening to.
It's interesting because there's so many records now that are like, flash in the pan kind of thing. It's like, boom, they're huge, and then they die.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I don't really care about that. But I think the one thing about La 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 is it was a shift in culture at the same time, because TikTok was becoming such a normalized thing for everyone in everyone's day. And that then when people think about TikTok or people think about Fortnite, there's like this weird
like
mesh.
That. Yeah.
It's like Fortnite blew up in 2019, super, super, super hard. And then La La La, there was like basically the Fortnite community made montages to La La La. And every single montage just exploded. And that was like a massive avenue of promotion for me. And I used to have so many like Fortnite gamers being like, bro, thank you so much. Like, your song blew my shit up. And it's like, every time I post La 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 still, people are like, man, this ran 2020, this ran 2019. And it's so interesting just like how people have nostalgia. And it's also crazy when people are like, yo, I was 7 when that song dropped. Like, I see a comment, I'm like,
oh my God,
that's fucking insanity.
Oh, that's
insanity.
We get that with Smosh a lot. Like, dude, I grew up watching you. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So you had all those albums. Then you had La La La, which was just a single. But 2020 is the album Good Luck, Have Fun. That's the one where I think there's a song that I'm like, okay, I feel like this, like.
Really?
There's a song that in that one was. That this was, I think, my favorite song that you've ever dropped.
Really?
It's kind of a random one. I
love
but
this
it's,
reaction.
It's Ima with Lentra from Good Luck, Have Fun. It's got such a cool beat. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Rocks.
It's just my, it's mm-hmm. the, I was just like listening to it. I was like, oh yeah, this one slaps.
You think this is the one that.
I felt like before this, you had a really sick vibe, but something about that song felt like it kicked into this like, there's just so many songs you drop nowadays, especially like your recent two, like It Boy and Lil Freak, that I'm just like, this is like a fucking party.
Banger.
And like, Ima was the first one I was like, this is a song you put on at a party and it's gonna like up it to the next level. That's what I felt like. Whereas your other songs were like, these are really good like rap songs.
Hang out.
And it just like, I don't know, it had a different, I don't know, I felt like there was a little bit of a different vibe. The same vibe, just a little bit different.
No, a lot of people really like that song. I feel like it's just because it's bottled up and it's like speed.
It's
like as fast as I humanly can rap kind of thing. I was just spitting gibberish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a cool song. Also, the music video is great. I got Jimbo.
I don't think I've watched the music.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I just was listening to this.
It's me fully dragged up.
That's awesome.
What?
Yeah. Oh wait, yeah. I saw some clips of that.
I got huge ass tits. It's so sick.
Yeah. Badass.
Jesus. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a really, really good time. I think that was the first time I've ever been like, so I get noticed every so often in public, but I remember when I was in full drag, like, I shaved my beard kind of thing, like, yeah, full drag, like, oh, 5 hours of makeup kind of thing. I didn't tuck because I was like, I'm just not going to do that, but I was walking around in public in Victoria, BC, and it's a really progressive city.
I love Victoria.
Amazing.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And I just remember everyone was just howling at me, and they were like, yeah, like, fuck yeah, you want free coffee? And I was like, I feel super famous.
Were you in drag at that moment?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you were shooting the music video around Victoria.
Yeah. It was.
That was amazing.
That was, like, the most, like, famous I've ever felt. I was like, holy shit, man, life pretty good.
That's
man.
Awesome. Like,
yeah.
That's sick as fuck.
If anyone has the chance to actually do, like, super high-level drag, I would recommend it to anyone.
You should do it again.
So in Philly, I made a promise to some guy that every single time, he was in the meet and greet. He's like, hey, bro, like, you should do drag in Philly every time you come back. I was like, all right. So I'm just going to do, every time I do a show in Philly, I'm full.
In Philly, I'd love to see that.
In full drag, yeah. I don't know why I agreed to it, but I'm like, fucking,
I love that you're going to honor this random guy's. You're
it's
gonna,
weird what you
promise.
Agree to.
Yeah.
When you're yeah. like, yeah, I'll totally do that.
Because it's also like, fuck it, why not? Who cares?
No, I think you should. Yeah. I think that sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's sick. So I'm already like trying to, I remember we're booking for next year in 2025 to do a tour. And I was like, no, we got to do Philly. Because I got to do drag. And he's like, what? My agent was like, what? I'm like, all right. No, let's do it. Let's do it. So
funny.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
A random question I have is Baby Gravy the name of like you and Young Gravy combined? Because like a lot of, you have a couple albums with him. And it's like, it says Baby Gravy, Baby No Money, Young Gravy.
Oh, so you can just add that as like an SEO thing on Spotify. But basically like, us collaborating is called Baby Gravy.
Got it. Okay, I figured.
You know, Baby Gravy.
It's kind of disgusting.
I just listening to it, I was like, where's like Baby it. Gravy come in?
Where is
which
that guy
one,
Baby Gravy
going to
come in?
Which one is Baby Gravy? Oh, I'm Shane. Listening for Baby
Imagine
Gravy.
Imagine if it was like a mix of both our voices. Like,
honestly?
Cooked in a
fusion
pan.
Dance?
Yeah.
Yeah. The next song that I really liked is, I felt like this is more Young Gravy's type of vibe, but I thought you were really awesome on it, is What's Up from Eat Your Veggies. Really dig that song.
That song is really good.
Yeah.
It's weird because I remember when I made that song, I was like, I really, really like the basis of what the song is, mm-hmm. but it just like didn't do well for whatever reason.
Really?
And I was like, I really thought the song was going to do better, but that's something that's also interesting because it's like, if you like something.
I know. I was just going to say
other
that.
People might not.
Normally the thing that I love the most, people are like, yeah. I'm like.
It's always crazy to me.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? I don't.
It's like, for instance, like this It Boy song I put out recently, like people really are fucking with it. Like probably more than most of my songs like ever.
I loved It Boy. It
and
was really good.
I remember before I put it out, I was like, I like it, but is it too tech housey? I don't know.
It is tech housey, but I'm
it
kind
Boy
of
rocks.
Yeah,
I'm
rocks.
Kind of into it.
It's a good song.
It Boy rocks because it's very similar to Ima.
Yeah.
I think it's that type of like amped up.
You're going to really like the next like 5 songs from me then.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
No, I can't wait to see the music videos of your next songs if you're making them into like a movie.
Oh, so I'm doing like 6 songs this year that are all singles, and then the Y2K project is it all kind of has one tone because he produced it all.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like It Boy was produced by 2 different guys, and then the other song beforehand was produced by another person. So there's gonna be like a contextualization to it all.
Cool.
So and then I'm thinking about shaving my head and growing my beard out, wearing aviators, and always having a cigar in my mouth, and like oiling my body up in every video.
Yeah, man. Okay, cool.
Baby, no daddy.
think about Brad Pitt in Fight Club. That's kind of like.
Weren't we just talking about this?
Brad Pitt in Fight Club did not have a beard and oily dressing.
No. But,
no,
I'm,
but the beard
I'm
is going to be him.
I've been working out like religiously.
Okay.
So I've been trying to like really watch what I eat and like lose
Solid.
A bunch of weight and look like Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Badass.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were just talking about Brad Pitt, and he's the hottest he's ever been. in Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, we agreed and Legends of the Fall was his peak.
Yeah.
He's stupid hot. That guy is uncomfortably good looking.
He's very hot.
Yeah.
But
you had
the
take. You had the take that Ocean's 11, he wasn't, that was not even that good.
Nah. He was fine.
Kind of crazy.
He was fine.
All right, moving on. another one of my favorites is Chipotle. I feel like that's like peak, like you guys not giving a fuck.
From yeah, that was, died, I wrote that, fun. We wrote that song in like 18 minutes.
Stop.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always so curious, like when you're working on an album, like are you waking up and working on music all day, every day? Or is it kind of like
inspiration,
like spurts of inspiration? And you're just kind of like.
So yeah, music sessions are like, hey, come over at 2:00. And if we get nowhere in like 2 hours, we kind of just give up.
Interesting.
That's so smart. Because I feel like after 2 hours, you keep pushing because you're like, well, I'm not going to leave without anything. But you should just give up after 2 hours.
Yeah.
You should.
That's interesting. But like, do you work, are you given time limits when you're working on an album? Is it like, oh, this is due this time?
I give myself like a generalized time limit because release schedules and like promotion, it goes like on a monthly basis kind of thing. It's like if a song doesn't do well and you keep promoting it, you're like kind of beating a dead horse. Yeah. So it's like move on to the next one kind of thing.
Yeah.
So at least from my perspective, it's like drop 10 songs a year, have like a month off kind of thing.
Cool.
And then usually if I'm dropping an album, I personally like doing like 3 months of an album cycle or like 4 months where it's like, one song every 2 weeks, so you're like really in people's faces.
Okay.
And then it's just like, you know, you're kind of just in the conscience of your fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's no right rhyme or reason behind anything. Like you could, for instance, like my end goal. Long story short, I was having a conversation with this girl I'm seeing, and she was like, "What happens if your career goes apeshit over the next 5 years? Like, do you foresee us like being together, kind of thing?" And I'm like, if anything, if my career goes apeshit, that means I can just do less. So
true.
Like, look at Playboi Carti or Frank Ocean. Those motherfuckers do nothing.
I love
Frank Ocean. Quite literally, yeah. Like
does nothing.
Does nothing.
Like, literally,
and I still listen
nothing.
To his music.
Exactly.
I love
so it's
his
like
music.
He's like, you know what? Maybe I'll make a tweet. Ha ha. Album. Biggest thing in the world. And it's like, all right, man. Like, sick.
I think about that with some YouTubers who just can drop a video once a year and it's the biggest thing ever.
That's the way to live, though.
Well, it's unrealistic.
Totally.
It's
for
like
some people.
Years.
Yeah, for some people.
If you're lucky
they
and that
it.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that. I love what I do.
Well, also some people just go. Like so what I'm obsessed with is like authors and like
oh yeah, they're just
I
go,
love
go,
books.
Go.
But I'm reading a book by Brandon Sanderson right now, and this guy writes so goddamn much. He's dropping books all the time, and he'll just be like, oh, I wrote a secret book. I didn't tell anyone that I was writing a book. I got another one. And I was researching, and I was like, before he had a book published, he had written 13 novels.
Oh my God.
And he's still just, and he's like, he's got to have so many millions of dollars. He's got so many, tons of bestsellers, but he just keeps doing it. He just doesn't stop. Same with Stephen King. It's like, some people, they're successful, and they just, that's just how they work. And some people, once they're successful, they don't.
Stephen King, I read about him. So he writes all these short stories. And he says if he's in the middle of a book and he like gets an inspiration for a short story, he will stop and then write the short story and then go back to it.
It's insane. No, that's.
He'll just like go back and forth.
Mind boggling to me.
The King Steve.
King Steve.
back to this really quick. The last song, because also two truly of my favorite songs of yours are It Boy and Lil Freak.
Really?
Those are truly two of my favorites.
They're so good.
They're
doing pretty well this year, then.
Yeah, dude. I'm digging this vibe. But the other one, this is a song Courtney was listening to a ton, and it is awesome, is You Need Jesus. That song is so...
Oh, yeah. I've heard that song.
That's, yeah, that song rips.
That song is really sick. And then, you know, obviously, like, Edamame and stuff is awesome. But those are my favorites, and I did listen to all of it.
But It Boy's your
all,
new song.
All your...
Yeah. What do you? Okay.
That's amazing, Shane.
Did you listen to? Yeah, like also.
Yeah, I
also
did,
like
but
listening to my music in that much detail, like dude.
But I listened to it all. But I will say, like, I'm still not great. And I listened to it all like once. Some songs I listened to a bunch. Like I've listened to It Boy a ton. Listened to Lil Freak a ton. I've listened to Edamame a ton. I listened to a bunch of times. But I'm still not great at like listening for lyrics or like deciphering the music. I'm truly just listening to it and vibing to it. So I don't have like a breakdown mm-hmm. to a detailed level.
Well, you kind of just did.
To best of my degree.
Did you listen to the albums like one album at a time?
Kind yeah. of? Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite like?
It's interesting because then if I'm going like by, it all blurs together because I just was like, I would finish an album and I'd start the next. But if I were to pick like an album then, I don't know. In a way, like some of your early ones are fun to listen to like all the way through then. Like a Recess or like, but I don't know if I have a favorite album because like I was just picking up like songs. Do you have one that you cherish?
It's interesting because Recess was like right when I blew up.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So everyone's always like, Recess is your like most influential album because it's like, because you took a sound and ran with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, my fans are definitely right about that one. I don't know. I do think I Don't Care At All has like a great place in my heart where I think that music stands up super, super well to this day. It's like Y2K and I tried to really just touch every genre, and we're kind of doing that again on this next album. So that's fun. But I don't know. The first album was obviously one of like my first things where I put together, and I was like, yeah. It was a ginormous undertaking, and I understood the intricacies of having to put an album together. So there's a place in my heart there.
That's special.
But I don't know. I don't really critique my music like that much. Once it's out, it's out. I definitely think my worst album is Good Luck Have Found.
Really?
Sure. I think I just like it was it was a COVID album. I was like reluctant to like not like waste songs and not put things out. And now I'm being like I just made basically like 100 songs and I'm only banking like 6 to put out this year.
Wow.
So it's like now I'm being way more intentional and it's paying off like crazy. So because wow. like if you put a song out and you flop it and it's just not good or something like that because you're trying to just put out all your music because you're so emotionally attached to it,
right?
Then you might, you know, you waste like that period.
Yeah.
Where is it a waste? I don't know. Is it art? Yeah. But it's also a business, right? So
right.
I unfortunately view it like that sometimes. But
I think that's smart to do that because if you emotionally attach yourself to each project that you do, it's going to wear you down over time. Like you have to throw out so much shit against the wall and then take like, oh, there's one good thing out of here.
Yeah.
And I think that if you put all your love and soul into every little thing, you're just going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally.
So I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Damn.
Well, damn. Thank you for listening to my music, man. That's great.
Bro, it rocks.
Your music is so good. Your voice sounds so good.
I guess I'll listen to this music.
No, but like, but it is interesting because it's like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure you guys feel this too. It's like, when you meet people that are like, oh, like, I actually like really like your music. It's like, what the fuck?
I feel that.
It's like weird.
When people go, I listen to Smosh Mouth religiously every single Monday, I'm like, what?
There is definitely a part of me that's like, why? Like, I'm just like, you're entertained by that. It's tough. Like, there is that voice.
But like I said, that if there's people that I am like a fan of and I'm watching and they are talking normally as people, I would fucking watch it every Monday too.
Totally.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's a realness, that there's a connection that we have and that people really want to see and connect to. And it's like, I've started to get better at receiving that stuff rather than being like, huh, are you all right?
Yeah.
I've started being like, oh, okay, cool. I'll keep going.
Yeah, there's like this weird like external validation thing that is like the constant validation is super interesting because you only really notice a negative.
I know.
It's so fucking weird. And there's like 2 million people listen to my music every day on Spotify. It's like
so cool.
It's like, what the fuck? And then I see a comment, hey, yo, this shit's cringe, bro. And I'm like, ah, not the cringe.
I know. And you go to bed thinking about that one comment. You just focus.
And
like,
they know what they did.
Yeah, they're just sitting there.
They only said it because they know. Like, thank you so much for being here, man. Thank you so much for being in so many Smosh things.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm blessed. Thank you guys for having me.
We're blessed, yeah. Baby No Money. We're blessed.
Well.
Should we all hold hands?
Let's all hold hands. Guys, listen to It Boy.
I can't reach you.
Friends, family.
Oh, God, your finger, no.
Oh, my gross finger.
What happened to your finger?
I cut it off with a vegetable peeler.
Ah.
I had to have it sewn back
trying
on.
To make a martini.
thank you so much. Your music rocks.
Thanks, man.
And
listen to
It Boy and listen to the other songs. You're going to be dropping other songs soon, I'm guessing.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye. That's me. That's right. That's me.